The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Oh, a lot of Jamie today. A lot of Jamie Eisenberg today. He was at the owners' meetings in Phoenix, and he's got a lot to talk about. We have a lot to ask him about. Dave is here as well, and I am Adam. We welcome you to the Wednesday edition of Fantasy Football Today. Special week here. We got a bonus podcast tonight with Samantha Praviti. We'll publish that on Thursday. We've got a mailbag that we're recording on Thursday. We'll publish that on Friday. So, busy week for us here on FFT. Jamie took center stage right next to Doug Peterson. I hope you've seen the picture. If you haven't, we will show you. Oh, here it is. It's amazing. Okay. So if you can't see, YouTube,
I look like I'm a PR guy.
YouTube.com/fantasy.
You look like his
today.
Son.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I probably would take that at this point. I mean, we're probably closer in age than we are to being father-son.
Anyway, yeah, you look so young. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you can't see it, you can see it on Jamie's Twitter account, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y. And always make sure you watch our show.
How did they not crop me out of that picture? Today. I don't understand. It's like, here's Doug Peterson and some schmuck sitting next to him.
So, Jamie, I asked Jamie for some of the big topics, the big takeaways from the questions he was able to ask the head coaches at the owners' meeting, and we're going to talk about Kyle Pitts, we're going to talk about the Packers wide receivers, the run games for the Texans, for the Cowboys, for the Broncos, and a lot more, but you
no,
were,
no.
But the Texans too, right?
Yeah, both.
Yeah. I said a lot more. I mean, anyway, you were there when Lamar Jackson tweeted his trade request. What happened in that ballroom or wherever you were?
So I typically, and Dave's been to a bunch of these. And the way that it works is last year was the first time that they went to like a podium format. They got away from that this year. They went back to what the traditional format was. And they split it into AFC and NFC. So you've probably seen some pictures circulating, obviously the one of me sitting next to Doug Peterson. So you kind of get to a place like this. And for me, I try to be respectful, especially being a former beat guy, be respectful of the beat writers, the guys that cover the team. So I kind of just float around and go to different tables, different coaches. And, you know, I'll wait till there's a pause. I'll ask a question, then I'll move away. I tend to stay away from the big scrums, especially the teams that have a lot of media coverage, for a couple of reasons. One, because I'm typically going to get the things I need asked in some way, shape, or form by one of those guys. So I'll just take what the coach says from a transcript or some social media post. There was a huge contingent before this happened already set up around John Harbaugh because of the Lamar Jackson situation. So he was going to get asked a lot by the national guys, by the local guys. And I believe it was, if I saw the timing right, 3 minutes into his sit down with the media, Lamar Jackson posted his tweet. So there was clearly some someone told him what was happening, and he decided to do this from a timing standpoint. And it was like all hell broke loose. Like you see people going from one table to John Harbaugh's area. I don't know why, because you weren't getting close to him. And so it was just kind of funny. And somebody pointed this out. The Super Bowl champion coach typically gets mobbed because there's a lot of hype, a lot of attention, and how they're going to follow up there. Andy Reid, I didn't even see Andy Reid. That's how much it was of where I was going and all this happened. And apparently he had like one of the smallest amount of people that maybe he's ever had. Now, granted, there's not a huge contingent of media that covers the Chiefs by comparison to like a New York team. And Baltimore obviously sent a lot of people there. So it was definitely interesting in the buzz, and it carried over, you know, for 2 days. Every coach that does not have a quarter, every team that does not have a quarterback, their coach was asked about it. So Arthur Smith, Frank Reich, Shane Steichen, you name it. You know, it was a lot of, hey, Ron Rivera, are you interested in Lamar Jackson? You're interested in Lamar Jackson? What would it take to get Lamar Jackson? Were you talking to Lamar? You know, it was just a lot of that. And it was the three big stories were Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, and then by the end, Odell Beckham, just because he showed up in Arizona because he trains there. He showed up at the meetings.
Well, Andy Reid, by the way, had the funniest moment that I saw of the...
It was very funny.
He was asked about Jordan Love, and he had no idea who Jordan Love was. And Jordan Love started against the Chiefs 2 seasons ago, the one game that Aaron Rodgers missed that year.
So just to give some people some insight about NFL people, and I heard a very... Dave actually just asked, any stories I can't tell off there. I'll tell this one on there. About how little most NFL personnel... It's changed a little bit with social media, how little they know about the league. So a coach, for the most part, is so ingrained in his own team and personnel. Yep. They know big stories. Obviously, you're not going to get away from Lamar Jackson. Andy Reid, I legitimately think he was being honest. He probably knows that he's the quarterback of the Packers, but probably could not tell you 10 players on the Packers aside from the big name. Like, that's how much it is. So a guy who I know, I won't say his name, but said that he used to cover the Colts, and this was pre-social media, said that Peyton Manning called him in the offseason and said, hey, would you mind if I check in with you from time to time to find out what's going on around the league?
Yeah.
Like, these are the type of things. Now he's on a different level. But, like, we spend time with NFL people in our building, and when you talk to them, you find out just really how little they know about the league. They know draft picks coming in, and I'm talking about general managers, coaches. They know, they don't really spend a lot of time focusing on other things. You probably can take an NFL coach, an old school NFL coach, and somebody watching our show right now, and they probably know more offensive players around the league than the NFL coach. And that's not a lie.
Interesting. All right, well, let's talk a little fantasy football here. Let's get into the big topics that Jamie wanted to discuss from his time at the owners' meetings and the questions that he was able to ask some of these coaches that you may not see in other places. So you talked to Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. What did he tell you about Kyle Pitts and the offense? And they are basically just naming Desmond Ridder the starting quarterback right now. They seem high on him, at least publicly. They brought in Taylor Heinicke as a backup. But we want to know about Kyle Pitts and, I guess, Drake London. So what do you got for us there?
Did not hear anything about Drake London. This was one of those, I sat through a lot of questions for Arthur Smith. And then when I got my Kyle Pitts question, then the next question was about Lamar Jackson, and I just had enough, so I left. So I did hear some good things, though, from some Atlanta people about how high they are in Tyler Allgeier, just to not, nothing directly from Arthur Smith. But so I asked him about Kyle Pitts, just what his thoughts were. And I'll see if, I already told you this, Adam, but I'll read you the quote, and I'll see if Dave has the same takeaway that I did. So here's Arthur Smith. Kyle came into this league with an enormous amount of hype. Kyle had a very productive rookie year. We were playing with Matt Ryan, and threw the ball, give or take, almost 200 times more. That's not Kyle's fault, meaning the next year. It's just kind of the way it was. We missed some opportunities with him this year. He played a little banged up and didn't finish the year. I thought he improved as an overall player. I know a lot of people, because of the way the league is covered with fantasy football and stats, and his impact and wanting his involvement to improve, we'll continue to enhance that. The thing that gives you a lot of encouragement is that he's actually done it. He's not selling you some hypotheticals and 2 years of trying to blow smoke. We're expecting the next step for him, and we couldn't be more excited about Kyle and his future.
I don't know. Dave, what do you think? You like that quote? I don't love it,
I would like it better if they did more quarterback than just say, all right, Desmond Ritter's our guy for 2023. If they had made a much bigger commitment to another quarterback, I'd like it better. But he's right. Like, the one thing that I've learned about Arthur Smith, and you guys will remember, once upon a time, I feel bad for saying this, but I poo-pooed him pretty badly on the pod. And man, I've eaten my humble pie on that. I've learned my lesson. He's a creative guy. But most importantly, he's one of those play callers that will absolutely adhere to the strengths of his team. He's not going to fit a square peg in a round hole. And so when he sees that he's got Marcus Mariota as his quarterback, and he's got some decent guys that can run, he's going to run the football as best as he can. And I don't think that that's necessarily a tendency of what he loves to do, even though that's what he did a lot in Tennessee. If he's got a quarterback that he's got supreme confidence in, I'm certain he would throw the ball 30 plus times a game, no problem.
So that was the biggest thing for me, was that, you know, we talk a lot about, oh, here's what they should do, or here's the what one year to the next, or how we study things. And the fact that he put words to it, that they threw the ball 200 more times, and then, as you said, Dave, you know, leaning toward what his personnel was. He's very high on Desmond Ritter. I was listening to his interview that he did with the NFL Network also, which they sat down together the day before. And he said in that interview that they felt confident enough that if Desmond Ritter was ready, he would have been the starter from week one. So they're sold on him. And so, you know, I think sometimes, and I agree with you, you know, clearly there was, they are a team that should probably be in the Lamar Jackson mix, just based on what their roster is. I think they're building a nice team. And that would, you know, put them in a situation to maybe get to be a playoff contender. But they're confident in Desmond Ritter. And so, you know, it could be a situation like, you know, it's probably not a fair comparison, but like how it's Jared Goff. The Lions aren't going to be very good. Jared Goff was washed up at this point. And then Jared Goff got into a comfort zone and started to look really good at the end of the first year there. And then that carried over to next year. So maybe Desmond Ritter is going to show us some things, not necessarily from a win-loss standpoint, even an individual standpoint, but maybe enough that they do throw the ball maybe 25 times, maybe 28 times, you know.
How about 28.8 times, Jamie?
That's what it was last year?
Is that what they did last year?
That's what he did in his four starts last year. 28.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
More than Justin Fields last year.
We start to see a little bit more confidence, and that transcends to what Kyle Pitts can do and what Drake London can do, because that's clearly, I think, for at least for now, that's what matters most to us.
Okay. And you expect Drake London to go ahead of Kyle Pitts in drafts, right?
I expect, I would say yes, unless we get some more hype on Kyle Pitts.
That's interesting.
Typically, we could see a situation where he could get into this. And, I mean, you know, we're talking about Drake London's probably going to be a round four pick. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Pitts gets that.
They actually both went in round five last week in the draft that we did.
Right.
Who went first?
London went to Jamie. And then five picks later, Kyle Pitts went to Jacob. So,
yeah, I wonder. I don't think that's going to be a cinch in every draft. I bet you'll see Pitts go ahead of London. I actually have them back to back in mind with Pitts ahead of London.
All right. Well, that is our first news item. I am going to read a promo now, and I am a little bit too excited to read this promo. Dave, would you like to give me some March Madness music?
Not
the fight song. No.
All right. The CBS fight song.
Saturday on CBS, the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Road to the Final Four reaches its final destination in Houston. Coverage of the semifinal games begins at 3 Eastern with Miami. At the Final Four and the Final Four show, all leading up to tip-off at 6 when Florida Atlantic faces San Diego State, followed by Miami clashing with UConn. The NCAA Men's Final Four National Semifinals Saturday on CBS. Never thought I'd be reading that sentence or that promo with Miami in there. All right, let's talk about the Packers wide receivers. Jamie, you got a chance to ask head coach Matt LaFleur what he thinks about his young duo of Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. Watson, in his last 8 games, was the number, on a per-game basis, number 5 wide receiver in PPR, number 9 in half PPR, pardon me, number 9 in full PPR. Romeo Doubs only played in 4 of those games and didn't really play a full snap share in any of them. So what did he say about Doubs and Watson?
Yeah, I actually did not ask this question, but I was standing there when he was asked this question. So he said, it was definitely experience, and there were some highs and lows with both of those guys throughout the course of the season. Once we hit that Dallas game, after those two drops, Christian really took off, and it was awesome to see. Obviously, you can see the explosive playmaker that he is and what he's capable of doing. I'm just excited to watch him grow and just his understanding of the offense. He is a guy that can handle a lot. I haven't been around too many rookies where you can move their position in-game, and he didn't even flinch. He is exceptionally intelligent, bright, and knows the plan inside and out, but I think there's a level of detail that will get better with him. We're going to ask him to run more routes than he did a year ago. I thought Rome started off great, and then he got injured. I don't know if he ever quite got back to what we had seen early in the year. I expect to see that when he comes back. He's got a unique skill set. I want to temper this comparison here, but he has some Davante Adams-type movement skills. He has to learn when to use it and how to harness that, but he has that twitch that you're looking for. I don't think there's a route that he won't be able to run. We're just going to have to give him enough reps where he can continue his progression. I'm excited about both those guys as a 1-2 combo.
Dave, are you excited about, I talk so much about Watson because I think there's so much to get excited about, but Romeo Doubs we don't talk enough about, and he did some nice things as well. Really, when you look at his stats, you look at the last four games, he was coming back from injury and he just didn't play that much. You got to kind of look at the games before that, but what do you think about the Doubs-Watson duo?
I think Watson's got crazy upside. Think of the touchdown that he had with Jordan Love last year. It was in garbage time, and it was just a short throw from Love to Watson. And Watson took it to the house. He's one of those rare wide receivers that's got length to him, and he's got unbelievable speed. And if he's going to get better and run more routes and adjusting in-game to playing somewhere else, if that's true, what Matt LaFleur said, I love that stuff. And we knew that Christian Watson was like a raw talent, but a hella good athlete. And now if he's going to be able to take that next step, he could evolve into a must-start fantasy wide receiver, even with Jordan Love. Love's got potential to be pretty good. So I'm excited about Christian Watson. I think I'm going to end up taking him ahead of those Falcons guys that we talked about. It's going to be really close between them, but I could see myself taking Watson ahead of them. I do have him ranked ahead of him. Doubs I'm less excited about because I think his chances of being like the runaway number two target getter in Green Bay, I think it's a fair chance, not necessarily a great chance. I'd be looking at him closer to the double-digit rounds.
Yeah, Christian Watson went in round four to Dan Schneier. So the wide receivers in round four last week were really interesting. Calvin Ridley, Christian Watson, and Schneier really likes Watson. He was probably not going to get him with his next pick late in round five, so he took him there. But he took him ahead of Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Jerry Jeudy, and Deebo Samuel. So I like Watson a lot, but guys, what do you think about him going ahead of some more established players like Cooper, Keenan Allen, and Deebo Samuel, and also Jerry Jeudy, who went in that round?
I like him better than Jeudy, and I like him better than Deebo, but I like the other two guys better, the two veterans better. I just think that you're going to see, to me, Cooper's going to have a big season with Deshaun Watson and how this offense, I think, is going to shape up. And then I think for Keenan Allen, he's going to be one of those guys like, do I really want to draft Keenan Allen? Then you're going to look at another 100 catch season and say, why didn't I draft Keenan Allen? So PPR versus non-PPR, I think there's a big split there. But I think that those two guys are in a better spot than Jeudy and Samuel personally.
Who throws?
I think they're all better than Watson, to be honest with you.
I
feel better about all those guys, including Keenan Allen. Allen, I'm worried about just because he's older, but I get where you're coming from because he does have 100 catch, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdown potential. And I think Watson can beat, like his ceiling is higher than that. There's no question. But his floor is lower than that. And so you kind of have to weigh those two factors. Wouldn't surprise me if by the time we got to August, the hype is out of control on Christian Watson and he ends up going in late round three.
I think the hype on Christian Watson will be very much tied to how people are feeling about Jordan Love. He's a guy who might actually play a lot in the preseason. We might be able to get some thought on that. But who do you think throws more in 2023, the Falcons or the Packers?
Packers.
Agreed.
All right. We're going to take a break. Before we take a break, Schaefer, should we do the caption contest here? See what some of the best captions were for Jamie's photo bomb on Doug Peterson? Or we could do it after the break. Take a second and... these breaks last so long on our side. Take a second and see what you got, and we'll be right back with a little bit of fun on Twitter, and then what
new Houston head coach D'Amico Ryan said about the backfield after signing Devin Singletary, plus what the Bills' backfield might look like, and Ken Walker, will he have an expanded role in the passing game? We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
All right, Jamie sits next to Doug Peterson, and he gets famous, and he looks very jet-lagged, so you look miserable in this picture here. We'll do our best to set everything up for those of you just on audio, not watching on video. Let's throw that picture up there, Schaefer. Why do you look so bored? It is so funny. Why do you look like that?
I was definitely jet lagged. It was a rough trip getting out to Phoenix. There was a lot of delays, so I didn't arrive I didn't get to my hotel until 4 a.m. Eastern. So it was a long day of traveling, and then you're up early the next day for the, they call it the coach's breakfast, but, it's just really, it's a 7:45 start, Phoenix time. So I was definitely tired, and this was toward the end of the session. He was asked, if I'm not mistaken, just in the direction that he was looking, he was asked, which I thought it was I like when teams get it and when coaches are honest, and Doug Peterson has come across to me more times than not as being honest. So he was asked about, you know, their window, because Trevor Lawrence still on his rookie deal. And I think this was the question that he was asked, and he was answering about just how their roster construction is right now. And they feel like they're in a good spot to be a contender, certainly to be the best team in the division. And, side note, if you look at their schedule, it's one of the more favorable schedules that any team will have, because they get their division, which is going to be pretty crappy, and they get the NFC South. So not a bad idea to invest in the Jaguars. In any event, he was talking about that. And so I was listening to his answer. And I think at this point I was probably, you know, looking at the guy who asked the question as well. But yeah, just poor timing. And again, if you just cut the picture off at the microphone.
Yeah.
There's Doug Peterson. So this was one of the Jags beat writers who tweeted it. I don't understand. Just crop me out. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I love the way you're taking it. Like, you tweeted it. I would have been so, I don't know, not embarrassed, but I don't know, a little sheepish about it. But I think
it's definitely not a flattering picture of me. But you know, it's funny.
The better thing to do is just to you know, like, have fun with it. So good job, Dave. What would your caption be for this?
I need some more time to think about a really good caption. I'm just impressed that Doug Peterson has the self-confidence to wear old style granny connect at the nose glasses around.
He wears them in games.
Yeah. I mean, that's like old school, but not the cool kind of old school. He's got like this weird gold watch. I don't know if that's like blingy or not.
He looks good.
He looks humongous. He makes Jamie look like,
yeah.
Yeah, and Jamie's not like a teeny person. Adam is a teeny person.
Jamie's face. Shaver, we need to take that face and put that on the YouTube thumbnails. Like when we're talking about busts or something like that. God.
Or like when you make a goofy comment or something.
Oh, man. By the way.
You can just drop that Jamie head.
Whenever I hear something like a coach's breakfast or some type of breakfast, I just want a Danish so bad.
They did have, I didn't have any, but they look good.
Let's get to it.
The food spread was good. I'm always a big fan of the oatmeal, the steel cut oatmeal.
Really? Interesting.
Oatmeal guy.
Yeah, I had oatmeal both days. What else they have? They had, Chocolate banana French toast. Nutella, Nutella banana French toast.
Here's a we got a caption. JB listening to Heath hype up DJ Moore for the fourth season in a row. Nutella French toast sounds ridiculous. That sounds outstanding.
Yeah. Now I wish I was there.
Yeah. Now I don't need my Danish anymore. All right. Let's go on. Talk more about. So these backfields, I don't know if you want to combine them or not, but. No, let's not do that. So Houston head coach D'Amico Ryans talked about what the backfield might look like after they've signed Devin Singletary, and he was pretty excited about Dameon Pierce.
Yeah, so I'll give you the first question I asked him was just, you know, what his thoughts are on adding Devin Singletary to the mix and what are the expectations. So his first answer was, we're excited to have both of those guys. Dameon has shown a lot from his rookie season. He's shown that he's a really good player. To be able to add Devin there with him to have that 1-2 punch to balance each other out, I think will be a great addition for us. I'm excited for what Devin can bring. He's hungry to show that he can do more. I'm excited to add him to Houston. Then I asked him just about, you know, did he add Devin Singletary to take some work off of Dameon Pierce, or is he still envision Pierce as the workhorse? And he said, this is about Dameon Pierce. He did what he had to do last year. He showed some toughness. He showed some competitive fight in him. I love the way that he runs. Love his style. It's a style that I really want to continue to feed him. That style of running excites the entire team. He runs with an attitude that I really like. I want to continue to see him build his game off of that. I'm excited to see his growth from year one to year two. I think it will be really good. So I got the impression, you know, again, you know, you take these things with a grain of salt just from what the coaches say, because coach speak is coach speak. He's still going to be the 1A, and I don't think we've, you know, steered anybody away from that. It's just a matter of how much work will they give Devin Singletary, because they didn't have a player like Devin Singletary last season. So the 49ers offense carries over. They'll use multiple backs. So it's just a matter of, A, will the volume be there for Pierce to the level that it was last year, and can he take advantage of it and stay healthy? And then, B, how much will Singletary work in? So I think, at least, you know, I'll just give you my take, is that Pierce is still somebody that you look at. I would say round four is where I'd be comfortable with him. Singletary somewhere closer to, you know, round eight at the earliest. But I do think that we're going to see both these guys get not significant work. I still think it's probably a 70-30 split, 60-40 at best for Singletary. Pierce still being the lead guy. It's just a matter, again, if the volume's there. And a lot's going to depend on who the quarterback is. You know, clearly they're going to wait to see what Carolina does, and then probably take one of Stroud or Bryce Young. I don't think we get a surprise and they take Richardson or Levis. And so if that quarterback comes in and makes some plays right away, this could be a pretty productive offense. I think you got a little bit of a buzz from Houston, that buzz from the meetings, that Houston's going to be the second best team in that division if the quarterback comes in and plays well right away, better than Tennessee potentially.
Dave, what's your take on this? You know, one thing we don't talk about with this, or haven't talked about, we haven't talked that much, who, if any, of these running backs catches passes? Because Dameon Pierce was not terrible. He was, you know, if you remove week one when he split with Singletary, he was on pace for 41 catches.
Burkhead.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Burkhead. If you remove that week one, he was on pace for 41 catches, which is not terrible. But what do you think? You know, Singletary kind of always flopped in that role in Buffalo. Is there another guy that factors in there? What do you think?
I'd be surprised if Mike Boone ends up playing in that kind of role. We've seen him play that role before, but I don't know if that's what they're going to do. I was, when Jamie was talking about what D'Amico Ryans said about Dameon Pierce, I was waiting for the but. Like, but we liked Devin Singletary just as much. Like, and there wasn't a but. There was no but. And so I'm kind of encouraged by what he said. Pierce can catch the football. Pierce can do everything. He just didn't do a great job at all those things as a rookie. And that's normal. You know, it's tough to pass protect when you're a rookie running back in the NFL. He did a great job of it in college. He did a great job of it at the Senior Bowl. I would expect him to get better at that, and that would put him on the field in more third down situations. I also think he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he can get to 40 receptions if he stays healthy all season long. It's just a matter of, does his quarterback look for him? If it's going to be the West Coast style that Kyle Shanahan runs, I don't know how many receptions are going to be there. So, does he have 40 catch potential over the course of 17 games? I would say yes. 50 to 60 catches, I would say no. I landed on Pierce as an early fourth round pick. Singletary to me is a round nine type of guy.
You took Pierce with the first pick of round five. You had back-to-back picks.
I was so thrilled. I was so excited. I remember that.
You had 48 and 49. You took David Montgomery and Dameon Pierce. Jamie, talking about the Bills talking to Sean McDermott. Did you come away from that discussion feeling any differently about Damian Harris and or James Cook?
I did, but this is one I don't want to like fall for because it's, you know, Damian Harris has had a hard time staying healthy and Sean McDermott sort of addressed that, which I'll, when you hear the quote, but it just kind of felt like this was the guy that they, this was the type of guy that they were targeting. And it feels as if he's going to get the Devin Singletary touches as opposed to maybe necessarily James Cook getting those touches if he can stay healthy. So here's what he said. It's a two-part answer. So this is Sean McDermott. First and foremost, I really enjoyed our time when he met with Damian Harris. I never met Damian. For years, watched him on the field. I just loved the combination of size, some power, and speed. Now, listen, he's got to stay healthy because it's great to have all of that. But if you're not healthy, you're not helping us. So we're going to have to do our part to help him with that and help manage those areas. And he's going to have to do his part in that as well. But I think that was a good pickup for us. Obviously, sad to see Devin move on. And what a great young man he is. Super happy for his family. We'll see how it goes. I feel good about Naheem and James as well. Then he was asked if Harris was the type of guy that he targeted. He said, the biggest thing is the speed element. We felt like we needed a slightly bigger back, but not a 250-pound cloud of dust type of guy. So to find a player with some size, with some power, but also has the speed element to go along with it, I think that's hard to defend. Not only can you run inside, but you can get to the edge from time to time. An 8-yard run can go to 18 or 80. That element is dangerous and can put a little bit of fear into a defensive coordinator. So I think the takeaway for me was they really like Damian Harris. And I told you this, Adam, and Dave, I don't know how much you paid attention to anything McDermott said, but there was a big conversation, and it kind of was, you know, along with the theme of the meetings with Lamar Jackson, why maybe some teams are afraid of him. McDermott is a little concerned about Josh Allen and his long-term health. You know, they want to make sure this is a 20-year guy as opposed to a 10-year guy. And he said, he's like, we can just put these questions on a loop about Josh Allen running less because he would like him to run less. And he's sort of, you know, I'll give you the short version of it. Yeah, in this league, it is very hard to stay healthy unless you play a certain way. We're going to continue to work on that. Mobile quarterbacks that I've been around, that's an ongoing conversation for their entire career. So I think, you know, big picture, we may see Josh Allen run less. We may see Damian Harris run more. As part of that, though, part of the answer that McDermott said, he's like, we can't take away what Josh Allen, who Josh Allen is, you know, so he's, you know, going to run. Some of the people, you know, that cover the league and cover the Bills would like to see the design runs maybe disappear a little bit and, you know, let it just happen naturally, which I think is what you see with some of these running quarterbacks. So I wouldn't be surprised if they put a little bit more emphasis on the run. I know we said this probably the last couple of years, like, oh yeah, Buffalo's going to try and run the ball more. And we probably said it at the end of last or going into last year after Devin Singletary finished the way that he did. But it sounds like they found a type of player that they like in Damian Harris. If he can stay healthy, we may see a little bit more emphasis on the run game, and we may see him be better than James Cook. I'm not going to rank him ahead of James Cook yet, but I'm going to definitely move Damian Harris up a couple spots in my rankings just based on what Sean McDermott said.
I'm with it. I've liked Damian Harris as a talent as far as like rushing downs goes ever since he was at Alabama. I think he's absolutely capable of being a grinder. We've seen his speed at times when he can break away for long runs. And I looked before the podcast, 15 career carries inside the three, 10 touchdowns on those 15 carries. That's good. I think that could be an area where he really hurts Josh Allen. And that's been something that's been missing from the Buffalo offense, it feels like, since forever, where they've had a short yardage running back that can find some touchdowns. Maybe we're looking at a running back here who you draft as a number three and you plug in as a number two when there's a good matchup, maybe when you run out of other running backs. So he's good depth. I think you're looking for him in that round. I don't want to say round seven. Maybe it gets to that point. For now, it's round eight on Damian Harris, especially in PPR leagues.
Yeah, some quarterbacks, they don't get a ton of short yardage touchdowns. The ones that run for a lot, you know, like Lamar Jackson doesn't get a ton of short yardage touchdowns. Josh Allen kind of does. Last year he had 5 from 5 yards or closer. You know, so that's just something. Last year he led the team in carries inside the 5-yard line. He had 11. Devin Singletary had 7. Yeah, that could be it. I mean, are you guys going to downgrade Josh Allen based on any of this?
I did.
To what? To 2?
To 3.
Okay. Jamie?
He's still 2 for me, but No, you could certainly make a case for Jalen Hurts over.
And James Cook went in round 7 in our draft. Damian Harris went in round 9. Quick thoughts there?
I think that's fine. You know, again, I think you're talking about the upside play is definitely James Cook. You know, and so the hope would be is that this is, again, just coach speak. This is, you know, talking highly about a guy that they just brought in and probably wanting to make James Cook earn the job and earn the touches that he hopefully will get. But it's going to be a split either way. You know, if Damian Harris is the guy on first down, you know, you go back to what their first backfield was with Sean McDermott, I think it was when he was the start of the coach. It was Zach Moss and Singletary, and they wanted this physical guy with speed, and that's kind of what Zach Moss was, but he just couldn't stay healthy, and Devin Singletary proved to be the better of the two. And so I wouldn't be surprised if James Cook is the better of the two, just based on, A, knowing the system, being there already, B, you know, the pedigree hopefully standing out a little bit. Not that, as Dave alluded to, Damian Harris doesn't have a good enough pedigree, but there's a reason why he was sort of displaced last year. Couldn't stay healthy, and then Ramondre Stevenson proved to be the better of the two. And then I think hopefully James Cook will prove to be the better of the two. But I think just in terms of for fantasy managers, as Dave alluded to, getting a guy like Damian Harris on your bench is not a bad move to make at all. Just you don't want to overspend for him. You don't want to have too many high expectations for him. But it would not be a huge surprise if for a 4 or 5 games, you hear me say this a lot, the pocket that Damian Harris is the guy there, he could be a starting fantasy option for you.
All right, we got one more kind of bigger topic to talk about, and that is Ken Walker. Ken Walker had 27 catches in 15 games. After Rashad Penny's injury, Ken Walker was the number 6 running back in half PPR, number 9 in full PPR, and on a per-game basis, he was right around 9 or 10 in both formats. So he had a great year, but in order to be a true stud, you have to catch a lot of passes. I don't know, not necessarily you could go the Derrick Henry route, but it helps. What did Pete Carroll say about Ken Walker's role in the passing game, Jamie?
I'll save you the Pete Carroll, he's the greatest person, player ever scenario. Great in practice, you know, but it was a typical Pete Carroll answer when I asked him just his thoughts on Ken Walker in general. But I said, what does he have to do? What is he going to show you in year two? And he said, he'll get a lot better. He'll be more accurate with the opportunities and knowing the situations, maximizing his shots when he gets them. We'll get the ball more throwing it to him. I think he's going to make a really big step from his rookie year. He'll definitely make it. He's got a great mentality about it. And so the thing that stood out to me, and he talked about this in the other part of the answer, was his ability to catch the ball. And I think, you know, just that's the next thing for him is, can he be more involved in the passing game? And we've talked a lot about this with Seattle running backs and certainly now with 2 quarterbacks during the Pete Carroll tenure. Russell Wilson didn't throw to his backs a lot, whether it was Marshawn Lynch or Chris Carson. Geno Smith did not throw to his running backs a lot, maybe a little bit more than Russ did. And so we'll see if that's the next step for Walker. But, you know, you look at what he showed, as you alluded to, Adam, and what he hopefully will show. I think he's, you know, certainly in that conversation of once you get past, to me, the top 4 guys of McCaffrey, Eckler, assuming he's with the Chargers, and Taylor and Saquon Barkley, then Walker's in that next group of guys, whether you want to put Pollard there, whether you want to put Josh Jacobs there, Derrick Henry there, Breece Hall healthy there. You know, I think all those guys are in that conversation. There's probably a guy or two that are missing. But, you know, Ken Walker should be in that group. So for me, he's at the swing, the 1-2 swing. He'll probably end up settling based on ADP as a mid-second round pick would be my guess. But I think there's certainly plenty of upside, especially once we come out of this draft. If they do not take a quarterback in the first round and they hopefully take an offensive lineman, which is what I would prefer, then I think we could see a big step forward coming for Ken Walker just as a player overall.
I am reminded of the owners' meetings a year ago when Pete Carroll insisted on talking about Rashad Penny and just going on and on about how Rashad Penny reminded him of Gale Sayers and Rashad Penny's metrics were off the charts. And I think he tried to make it happen for Rashad Penny. I don't think he was lying about this stuff. And I'm hoping that that's the case again this time, is that they make Kenneth Walker just the absolute centerpiece of their run game. They don't bother going to spend meaningful draft capital on another running back. They let Kenneth Walker develop in his second year, and they do try and work him into the passing game a little bit more. That would be smart. That's actually like something that would evolve in Seattle's offense, which is something that they've been slow to do. They don't evolve as quickly as some other NFL teams. So I'm with you on this one. I think he's going to end up being a second round pick, but I bet he ends up going closer to like 15th overall rather than the middle of round two. I mean, we're talking about like three spots difference here, but he's going to end up being one of those second round picks, very trendy, and one that could end up being well worth the price.
The thing that you love, for me, you know, that's why I would take him ahead of Jacobs and ahead of Henry, age, you know, and I think that's a big part of it. You know, year two, still in the rise for this position, you know, it unfortunately crashes quickly, but I think this is going to be one of the next wave of first round picks for a couple of years if he stays healthy, you know. So I'm excited about Ken Walker. He's a top five guy for me.
Yeah, after the Penny injury, his 17-game pace in weeks 6 through 18, and now I removed one game where he had three carries and left with an injury, 343 carries. You know, that's almost Derrick Henry-esque. So Ken Walker was an absolute workhorse. And, you know, for me, I was just about to say, like, I don't know why people are so much higher on him than Travis Etienne, and I also don't know if that's true for everyone. It seems to be true in our little group. Etienne went a round and a half later. But I think that's the number right there. It's like Travis Etienne was nowhere near a 343 carry pace, and Etienne wasn't even catching more passes than Ken Walker, really. You know, that was kind of, at least after the James Robinson injury.
I do think that Etienne is getting overlooked a little bit, and like you just hear a lot of people just raving about his ability to run inside and how underrated that is. And there's a lot of talk potentially about where they're drafting, that they could be taking an interior offensive lineman. And the fact that the news came out about Brandon Scherff, that he was playing, that he had surgery, he was playing with, an abdomen injury. Even with the loss of Juwan Taylor, they have, you know, the rookie from last year step into his place, that this could be one of the better groups. And again, the schedule, you know, this is an offense. Somebody said to me that they could legitimately score 5 more points a game.
Yeah.
And if that happens, he's going to be a huge, you know. So I initially, when I first did my second version of rankings, put Etienne behind Henry and behind Jacobs, just because I think I was a little bit too down on those two guys in particular. Jacobs is a little hard for me to figure right now, just because of the motivation of the contract year. But I think at this point, you know, for the way that I feel about the position and just the youth, that I would probably feel more comfortable with Etienne and those guys.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm sitting here going, how did Travis Etienne make it to the third round, the middle of the third round?
I thought it was one of the biggest steals of the draft.
And I did it. Yeah. And Dave and I both passed on him twice. Well, all three of us did, you know, like, because we had picks 9, 10, and 12 in round two, and we had picks 1, 3, and 4 in round three, and we all passed on him.
I like Ramondre better, so that wasn't a tough one for me. But that was I'm trying to think of the, I knew I was going receiver, and I started with Kupp and Waddle, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And then it was the way that I saw the board falling, I thought there was a chance for me to get one of Stevenson or Etienne. And so that just happened to work out that way.
And then my excuse was I took Kelce one, I took Derrick Henry in round two, and in a three receiver PPR league, I didn't want to go three rounds without a receiver, so I took T. Higgins. So I went Kelce, Henry, Higgins. Dave, you had the first pick, and you took Jefferson, and then you took
Devontae Smith and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that's interesting. You went three receivers, and you left.
It's a three-receiver league, so I was trying to cater to that. Would I do that again? Knowing what I know now about how deep receiver is this year, I think I'd probably rather have ETN than DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah,
especially since we don't know where Hopkins is going to end up playing.
Yeah.
Like, what if
I thought Hopkins, even if he's in an ideal situation, still went too soon.
I'll tell you what, there were two picks here in round two that right now, if you know, are not likely to happen again. And you guys talked about it on the show last week when I was out. Javonte Williams and Joe Mixon, they went in round two. If those guys had not gone in round two, there's no way I would not have taken Travis Etienne with one of my picks. So. Like if Javonte hadn't gone, if Javonte had been Derrick Henry instead, I would have taken probably ETN with the 10th pick of round two. But Henry fell to me. So, all right, let's take a break here. When we come back, we got some more stuff to recap from the owners' meetings and just some more news items to get to as well. Remember, we have a mailbag that's going to publish on Friday, going to record it on Thursday if you want to watch on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. And tonight, Jamie and I believe we'll be talking to Samantha Previti, get her some of her favorite players. going into 2023. We're going to try to get more guests on during the month of April and afterwards and all that. So we will be right back on FFT.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Jamie, so just some rapid-fire stuff here. Denver and Dallas backfields. What were your big takeaways from those? Let's try to do, you know, a minute on each.
I got the impression, and you know, you look at some of the offseason moves for the Broncos. I don't think it's a surprise that the rumors about them trying to trade Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, I wouldn't be surprised if that was also floated by them. You know, even though Sean Payton sort of squashed that, I think if some team comes calling with a first round pick, they may be willing to part with Jeudy and maybe a second round pick or in the third or fourth round range, depending on what the compensation is, also as well for Sutton. He's not going to draw as much, but in any event. I think, you know, you look at the addition of Mike McGlinchey, he is forever going to, you know, the nice thing about Sean Payton, not so much for fantasy managers, but he's a loyal guy and he was loyal to Taysom Hill. He seems to be very loyal to Latavius Murray. So between Murray and Samaje Perine, knowing that Javonte Williams is probably going to miss the start of the season in some capacity, or at least not be up to speed. We could see that being the backfield there for Denver. So P. Ryan's going to be one of my favorite sleepers. I think he's got the higher ceiling, as strange as that sounds, to Latavius Murray. But I think P. Ryan's got an opportunity maybe to even be the third down back to open the season. So don't be surprised if we see a little bit more heavy rush approach, running approach from Denver. For Dallas, the only thing that really concerned me wasn't so much what Mike McCarthy said, because McCarthy was asked, and I think he sort of alluded to this privately, that his words were a little twisted from the combine when he said he wants to be a more run-heavy team. He was asked about the loss of Ezekiel Elliott and how he plans to, you know, replace him. And he said he's always been about ball distribution to his stars. And he said, you know, Pollard will obviously get some more. The other backs will get some more. But for him, he wants to make sure of the 70-some-odd plays, I think that's what he said, 75% of those are going to his top playmakers. And so, you know, he said it's going to be more to the tight ends, more to the receivers. And you look at their offseason, and it sort of doesn't mesh with what McCarthy's words were from the combine. You know, you bring in Brandon Cooks, you're talking about Dak, you know, and making him a little bit more of a playmaker. And now not necessarily saying, okay, we lose Zeke, and it's just all going to the backfield to Pollard. So I think we can still see maybe a more balanced approach, maybe not the as McCarthy did say, you know, a light up the scoreboard type of situation with Kellen Moore as the offense coordinator. So I wouldn't necessarily be so down on Dak and so down on maybe CeeDee Lamb or Brandon Cooks. If you are, I don't feel that way, but you know, there might be some people that look at that. The concerning thing for me about what came out of it from Dallas was Stephen Jones, actually, which I didn't speak to him, but I saw the media for Dallas did. And he said, they're excited about Pollard. They actually haven't ruled out maybe bringing Zeke back. If he decides to come back, maybe at a lesser price, but he did say that they do want to add a bigger back to complement Tony Pollard. And so that scared me, because I think, as we saw in this draft and we talked about this, you know, Pollard is in the round one discussion, you know, whether you think he belongs there or not, he does if he's the lead back for Dallas without significant competition.
Yep.
But if they bring in a high profile rookie, and we know who the high profile rookie is going to be, it's not a big stretch to see them stay in their backyard and take Bijan Robinson. But if it is still a day two running back, and remember, they're not committed to Pollard long-term, even though he signed his franchise tag, that's a one-year deal, you know, so they may decide that what they did with DeMarco Murray, run him to the ground, send him out the door, did the same thing with Ezekiel Elliott, that Pollard is not necessarily the next guy for the next 4 or 5 years. He may just be a one-year band-aid, which we would love if that's the only person there, but I think we could see it's not just going to be Ronald Jones. and Malik Davis. They may still be in the market for another back. So it doesn't sound like it's out of we're not out of the woods yet with Tony Pollard being, I think, a slam dunk first round pick.
Anything to add, Dave Richard?
No.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. And then I don't know what did you guys think about the Brock Purdy news, I guess, that he's the starter when healthy, essentially.
Doesn't it make sense? He played very well last year when he was starting, and as long as his arm's okay, I would expect him to be efficient again for San Francisco. And that's the quarterback I think we want if we're drafting Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk, if Ayuk is still there, and I think he will be. That's the guy you want under center. You don't want Trey Lance. I don't think we really want Sam Darnold. I thought it was interesting that there's serious talk about Sam Darnold being the starter week one for San Francisco. So let's cross our fingers that Purdy heals up during the offseason and gets into some sort of throwing routine to get ready for the season, and he's back on the field by October.
Very important, everybody. We've got about a week left to vote. So, you know, I think we give you a lot of great content all throughout the offseason. Jamie out there at the owners' meetings getting great stuff and hopefully giving you information that you didn't hear anywhere else. So we'd appreciate if you voted for us. Just go to sportspodcastgroup.com. There's an awards tab, and then click on vote on the drop down there. And we are in the fantasy and sports betting category. So please vote for us in the fantasy and sports betting category, Fantasy Football Today. And you do have to create an account. I did it. It took me less than a minute. But again, in the fantasy and sports betting category, please vote for Fantasy Football Today. That is on Sports.
Tweet it out again, link.
Yeah, I'll definitely tweet it. Sportspodcastgroup.com. The link is also in the episode description wherever you're watching or listening. We would appreciate it. In fact, you didn't know this, but the picture of Jamie and Doug Peterson. Jamie is getting mad because people are not voting enough. That's what that face was about. So.
I was actually listening to Doug tell the media contingent around him that they should vote for us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So we appreciate all your help. Some more news items that came out of the owners' meetings. It's quarterback. Ron Rivera said that Sam Howell will begin spring workouts as the starter, but he will compete with Jacoby Brissett. We talked about Atlanta. They named Desmond Ridder their starter. Arizona head coach Jonathan Gannon did not put a timetable on Kyler Murray's return. Mm-hmm. And Matthew Stafford will have no limitations in 2023, according to Sean McVay. Stafford suffered a spinal cord contusion in 2022. The Rams offense, great, good, average, bad, terrible. Dave, what would your guess be for 2023?
Somewhere between average and good. With Cooper Kupp being the good, Cam Akers hopefully leaning toward good, and the rest of it leaning toward average.
Jamie, your thoughts?
I think if Stafford is healthy, good. If Stafford gets hurt again,
it's bad.
Yeah, you know, terrible. So it's you know, we're asking a guy in his mid-30s to, you know, come off a back injury and be, you know, above average. But look, they're in this weird spot of probably still competitive, but not competitive enough to be a Super Bowl contender unless a lot of things break their way. But they have, you know, the coach and arguably still one of the best defensive players in the league on their side. And if Stafford is right, then everything I think will fall into place.
Okay, let's talk about running backs now. Some of the news I thought was really interesting. Nick Sirianni talking about Trey Sermon.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into that. It was Zach Taylor gave me the same sort of answer on their backfield with Travion Williams. You know, these guys, they love players like this that practice hard and do the right things. And we'd love to get them more opportunities. Nick Sirianni said that about Trey Sermon. Zach Taylor said the same thing about Travion Williams. There's probably a number of quotes that we didn't hear about these type of players. They're just depth guys, you know, and for Trey Sermon, it's unfortunate because, you know, I thought last year for him going into the season that he was going to get a chance to compete because Elijah Mitchell, we weren't sure about his health coming into the season in San Francisco. And then they quickly moved on from him, as we saw, you know. So I spoke to Trey Sermon last offseason around this time. You know, he was very excited about his chance to compete for the job there. But Philadelphia is not done. This is the ideal landing spot for Bijan Robinson. If he could find his way to Philadelphia, yep. It would be just the perfect situation. And I know we'll sit here and say, well, Jalen Hurts takes all these rushing touchdown opportunities and
he doesn't
throw to his running back. I don't care.
Do you think that changes? Because that, I mean, something's got to give. A lot of Jalen Hurts' production were those rushing touchdowns. And no, he did not throw to his running back. So, you know, is that really the best? Okay, I mean, I get it. There's a lot to like about being on Philadelphia, but for as great of an offense as it wasn't a good one for fantasy running backs, kind of like what we've seen from Buffalo the last few years in a different style.
Yeah, but I do think, again, you're talking about Miles Sanders on steroids if Bijan goes there. You know, so he scored 11 touchdowns last year, Sanders did. I would say if Bijan's healthy, that's probably two or three more. You know, so chance to maybe get to 15 touchdowns. I think he could be a guy that's going to keep Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott off the field if he stays healthy. I think he could rush for 1,500 yards behind that offensive line. And I still think Jalen Hurts could be pretty special too. You know, so for me, that's the ideal landing spot for Bijan.
It's one of them because Adam's right. You want an offense where you can catch the ball a little bit more than you would in Philadelphia.
But where are those offenses that there's openings? And as we saw last year, you know, teams just didn't throw to their backs to the same level.
No, it's true. And I don't have a great answer for openings right now, but a team could just say that if they fall in love with Bijan Robinson, they can clean house on the running backs that they have on staff and just let Bijan be.
But not necessarily. Like I said, I could see Dallas making that type of move with the idea of.
Yeah, that would not be a good landing
spot. I'll give you one.
Well, it would not be a good landing spot for 23, but for 24 and 25 and 26, it could be absolutely amazing. Right.
Washington with the 16th pick.
If they do that with the 16th pick, they should not just sell the team. They should fire everybody.
Why? I mean, they talked about they want to be more of a running team.
Yes, but that would kill their franchise. They have so many other needs that they need to fill.
Well, I mean, that's probably true for a lot of teams. But yeah, so once you get to the back end of the draft, I mean, I guess the Bengals could draft him.
That's my second favorite spot.
That would be number one for me.
That's an example of what I'm talking about. That's a team that's got an established veteran that they would move on from.
Right.
So the teams that would make sense. That's why I think it's hard to say, oh, there's a great opening right now. You know, Philadelphia makes sense because who's their starting running back right now? It's Rashad Penny.
Tampa Bay at 19.
That'd be another, I think that would be a solid one. I don't think that's as good as Philadelphia.
Again, another not smart decision that's throughout the
game. Oh, you know, how about New Orleans at 29?
You know, I think with New Orleans and Cincinnati, you just have to, you know, and maybe you want to throw Minnesota in the mix too. You know, these teams that you can see moving on from their established guy, but that's the pitfall is for this year, it'd be frustrating.
I'm sure I could. I'm sorry. Just thinking out loud here, I should have researched this. I've been thinking about this. Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook, I mean, they're still on the team. Barring a trade right around the NFL draft, do you think that these guys could actually get cut at this point, or is it too late?
No, because June 1st is the number or the day,
yeah,
you know, where you know you get the salary reduction. Mixon is the one to me because I actually asked Zach Taylor about Mixon, and he gave the answer about their he was asked the question about adding Zeke, and he said they were happy about the room. This is where the Travion Williams answer came in.
Right, and isn't that what happened in Philadelphia too? Like that's like Trey Sermon was brought up by
exactly Sirianni. Right.
He wasn't so asked. Hey Nick, what do you think about Trey Sermon?
Right.
That story that circulated last week about Zeke and the teams that he's targeting, that's Zeke's wish list. It's not those teams looking in. The Jets are not adding Ezekiel Elliott. The Bengals don't seem interested in Ezekiel Elliott, and the Eagles don't seem interested in Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he just looked at I think three teams that have either potential opening because Hall may not be ready, or you know, future openings. Or in Philly's case, you know, not an established starter. So I asked, you know, where I said to Zach Taylor, where are things at with Joe Mixon? He's like, he's on our team. And, you know, I could see him get defensive immediately, you know. So I said to him, for a story I'm working on down the road, is he concerned about his age and workload, you know, at getting to that point in his career? And he said, you know, Joe's still our workhorse. And, you know, said, you know, a lot of glowing things about Mixon. It didn't mesh with what Duke Tobin, their director of player personnel, said at the combine when he was asked if he's still going to be on the roster. And he said, I don't know. You know, and so I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals, you know, were the team that drafted Robinson. because they may look at it again. Okay, is Mixon still our guy? Do we want to pay him and keep him on the roster? Or B, do we move on next season and then Robinson is the guy? So again, I think, you know, wherever Bijan lands, and he's not just the only running back in this class, clearly, you know, wherever some of these running backs end up, you could see a situation where Dalvin Cook's replacement is drafted this year. Joe Mixon's replacement is drafted this year. Tony Pollard's replacement is drafted this year. It doesn't necessarily mean that these guys are going to be great as rookies, but, you know, 2024 and beyond, they could be, you know, pretty good options for 3-4 years.
The Bengals can save over $10 million on the cap if they cut Joe Mixon after June 1st.
But wait a second.
I think it was a lot. You're probably right, but the story I saw coming out of the combine, I think it was like $8 million. So,
it's $10 million in cap savings.
But what is it
over the cap?
But what is the difference? Okay, so you can cut him now and designate him a post June 1st cut.
Unless they've already done that to somebody else. I don't know if they've done that to another player. And if they've already done that, I think you get. Is it one player or two, Jamie, that you can designate as a post June 1st cut?
Not sure.
And I think the other difference is if you just designate someone a post June cut, I don't know that you actually get that money freed up until June 1st.
That is correct.
No, it's split over 2 years. That's the whole idea. But that's the dead money.
That's the dead money.
The cap savings you get right away.
Are you sure? Because I thought you only get the cap saving, maybe.
I think that's why the term designate for a June 1st cut. So you do get the cap savings now.
Right. And you get the dead money spread out, which is important to how their cap
is spent. I think you guys are both right. I think you might only get two players or one player to designate.
Okay.
And as a result, you get to use that money now because you know it's coming off your books June 1st.
And do you know what Bijan Robinson's cap number might be? Like, I'm looking at Breece Hall's number. For the entirety of his 4-year deal, and remember, he's a second round pick. Oh. Bijan will probably be a first round pick. It's $9 million over 4 years, whereas Mixon is $10 million of cap savings this year. So, which running back would you rather have if you're Cincinnati? And which back would you rather have as far as your cap goes?
But I think
no brainer.
I read that Lamar Jackson has made $27 million so far, and he was a late first round pick. So, I think there's probably but that's an extra year, right?
It is an extra year.
But no.
Yeah, the only benefit to drafting anybody in the first round is you get the fifth year option.
The fifth year option, yes.
Right, as I'm sure you'd like the Giants to have used on Daniel Jones.
Dude, I'm telling you, as soon as Herbert, Hurts, and Burrow sign their contracts, nobody's going to say a damn thing about Daniel Jones.
They will. It's still too much.
Is it too much? Yes, but it's the market value for the position.
It's a 3-year deal. Essentially, 3 years, it's about $37.5 million per year.
Right. That's what Derek Carr's making.
Yeah, it's not the 4 years, 160, I think that was published. It's not really that. So all right. We still have more news. I was about to wrap up. Just figured we're talking about Daniel Jones. Jamie, we're on deck, by the way, in the baseball league. So yeah. More running back news. Chargers GM Tom Telesco says he wants Austin Ekeler back, but he won't predict what will happen. Giants owner John Mara said he wants Saquon Barkley to be a Giant for his entire career. And Denver GM George Payton. Yeah, said Samaje Perine can be a starter while Javonte Williams recovers from his torn ACL.
Awesome, awesome sleeper pick, like Jamie said. Yeah, I don't think he'll be much of a sleeper. What round, Jamie? I'm going to say 7 as of right now.
I took him, I think, round 8 in this draft that we did. So it's just a matter of, you know, now versus August. You know, we get to August and Javonte's not practicing. It'll probably be a round up by a week.
I still might take Perine, like with happiness.
Oh, it's a great pick, regardless of Javonte being ready or not.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of, you know, we saw with J.K. Dobbins last year. You know, he came back and then couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you said, well, Javonte will be back by week. Ooh, we're on the clock. Javonte will be back by week 2. If that is the case, we all just have to remember it's not necessarily like he's going to be full go week 2, you know? So,
yep.
What else we got here? Wide receivers. Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon said he's under the assumption that DeAndre Hopkins will be on the Cardinals. We will see. The Panthers want to make DJ Chark a more complete wide receiver. Would you guys rather draft Chark or Thielen?
I have to pick one of these guys.
Chark, but yes. I want to see the quarterback is.
Okay. They said they don't want him to just be a deep threat. Michael Thomas is not 100% recovered yet from his 2022 toe injury. According to ESPN's Nick Wagner, San Francisco has received interest in Brandon Ayuk. That's been kind of thrown out there for a while now.
As he also said in the same report, though, that the 49ers have no interest in trading him and that they're probably going to pick up his fifth-year option.
Okay.
Right.
And Rashad Bateman is coming along nicely. He will be running in 3 weeks. The Bengals signed...
That's about the only thing that John Harbaugh said, I think, besides Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, you know, why didn't you ask him about Isaiah Likely?
Because he likely would have said nothing.
The Bengals signed tight end Irv Smith to a one-year deal. Does that matter?
I like the move. I think it's a good situation, you know, to take a flyer on a guy. I don't think that takes them out of drafting a tight end as well because it's such a deep class. But look, they took a flyer on Hayden Hurst, and he had some good moments last year when the guys were banged up. So there could be a 2-3 week stretch where Irv Smith is injury replacement or bye week replacement for him.
Right. If they're taking on a slow defense in the middle in week one, I might stream Irv and take him with one of my last three picks.
Okay. And NFL players can wear jersey number 0. That's cool. I'm kind of into
Calvin Ridley's already done it.
Calvin Ridley's already done it. I wonder how the rest of his team felt about that. But Jamie, I'd say it's either Mookie Betts, Ronald Acuna, or Yordan Alvarez.
Alvarez scares me because he'll be awesome when he's playing, but I think there'll be some DL stints.
He will not be awesome. He will be basically the best hitter in baseball when he's playing. He's incredible.
Yeah. You think we get him round 2 or no?
No. He's outfield eligible. Dave, what do you think? Oh, come on. This is exciting stuff. Should we let our audience decide? Head-to-head points, Lee. What do you guys think? Betts, Dave is literally asleep. Or pretending, anyway. Betts, Acuna, or Alvarez. You know, I kind of like the stolen base guys. I think they're going to steal more this year. You got the bigger bags. You got the pitch clock.
So Betts?
Well, Acuna would be. But either one. Let's see. Betts stole only 12 bases last year.
Who cares who you take?
What'd you say?
Is Acuna going to stay healthy?
I think so. When he tore his ACL, he had 29 steals in 119 games last year.
That was pre-injury, though.
No, that was after the injury.
This doesn't help anyone.
I think. Dave, it's been an hour. We've helped people for an hour. Stop. I'm muting Dave. You can go. I'm removing Dave from the stream. Okay. Well, let's take, what do you think, Betts?
I mean, Betts is the safest.
He's Mookie Betts. He's great, you know? He hit 35 home runs last year. And he's awesome. All right, we're drafting Mookie Betts.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening. We will talk to you tomorrow or tonight if you want to hang out tonight. We don't know the exact time yet, but you know, if you're subscribed on YouTube, you'll find out about it. Two more episodes this week for Dave. Not for Dave. For Jamie and for Thomas, I'm Adam. Talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.